Welcome to the 32nd London International Mime Festival and to this discussion following the performance of Circus Kletzmer. This session is being recorded for broadcast by theatrevoice.com.
So, I think first of all what we ought to do is give a huge thanks to Circus Kletzmer. So, this is Adrian Schwarzstein, who created the show back in 2004 in Barcelona. Since when it's toured to 9 different countries, I counted on your program. And the first question I'd like to start with is, I don't know if any of you saw it last year in the Purcell Room just next door when it was part of the London International Mime Festival, but...
Somebody was there last year?
That person there.
The first show? Not the first?
Okay. I mean, what astonishes me is how there's still the same spontaneity, charm, love of life. How can you sustain a show for now in its 6th year with the same brilliance that it had when I last saw it? How do you manage this?
Good breakfast.
And a good breakfast to you. And about the show?
Well, how you saw today is a show is alive. Yeah. So in a normal wedding day, the people, the family, the invited people for a wedding, they come and we celebrate the wedding, we go and have a dinner, lunch, party, whatever. But we have to play like today is the first time we have a problem. So if we believe that it's the first time we have a problem, we can be fresh and play real. Oh, what we do now. Oh, what we do now. And we improvise something that we know what we have to improvise. But it's to believe in the character. So sometimes when I play here in London, that everything is forbidden, and I have to play I am the crazy of the village. So the crazy of the village don't know that there is bathroom for woman, for man, that you cannot do this. He's crazy. Yeah. So I'm crazy. So I go wherever, and they say, but it's not possible. It's forbidden. Yeah, Adrian know that it's forbidden, but Blishem, my character, don't know. So I have to play 100%, me, them, everybody of us. So this is the way to keep it fresh every day. Today we have another one, 7:30. So... we hope, but I think that with a public like you, it's very easy to be fresh and sparkling. Thank you very much, really.
These talks are being recorded for a website called theatrevoice.com. Now, in order for us to be able to record your questions, and because we have microphones and you don't, I need to repeat the question, and it will seem a little bizarre. You'll ask a question, then I'll repeat it again, but please bear with us.
I can go with the microphone. No,
you'll just stay here. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. So, all we need to do now... By the way, I haven't introduced myself. I'm Dick McCaw, and I look after the post-show discussions, and as Adrian said, we had a lovely discussion last year together. So, if you just put your hands up, you ask the question, I'll repeat the question, and we've started already.
And is that your Spanish? How did you get this idea of doing this title?
So, Adrian is Spanish, so how did he get this the idea of doing this Eastern European shtetl?
Okay, the show is from Catalonia, from Barcelona, in Spain. There is people from everywhere here, from Argentina, Catalonia, English. He's the only English one. It's Argentina, Germany, Argentina, another Catalan. Myself, I'm born in Argentina, and I'm Spanish. But my name maybe will tell you something. It's Schwarzstein. It's a Jewish immigrant to Argentina in the 1920s. And the idea came from my grandmother that lived in Belts and told stories about how beautiful and normal life was before the war. And what we wanted to do in, with the show, in a way, is to bring him back this joy of life. And it's a little universal thing that I want to give to you and to everybody that come to the show, is this beautiful and simple way of everyday life, just like this. Thank you. A shtetl, but a little village, probably near Newcastle, there is something like this also. With the crazy of the village for sure.
Next question, please. You there. How long did it take to do all the athletics? Do you mean to create the show?
Them. Because the real circus people are there, so they can answer. ¿Cuánto tiempo te lleva hacer un ejercitar esto?
This is Christina, by the way. I can remember her from last year.
Yeah, I'm Christina. I'm the last indicate for answer this also. Because it's my partner that is carrying me and also Eva, but she don't speak English, she say. And then we train every day, normally. And I don't know how many, ¿cuántos años?
5 years.
5 years? She's training these technicians.
10 years also.
10 years also for me.
But you cannot believe it. Can I tell your age?
40.
She's 40.
Woo!
So if you train every day, you see, it's easy.
And the next question, please. Have any of the tricks that you do on stage ever failed? Have you ever dropped anybody? Has anything gone wrong?
Because that I ask if somebody was last year in the first show here. Okay, I have to tell you something. We did the show already 280 times, more than 10 countries in the world. The first time we had the problem was here in London last year, and was because this little box, I'm going to find and I'm going to show you. I have to find it. Wait a second. It's here. This little box, in the beginning, I open, I look, and I find the box with the rings. Then I look the man that was with her in the house, and I do like this. Okay. And I did like this, and the drunk woman got stand and say, sorry for the children. Hey, you fucking clown, it's not funny. So it's forbidden for us in London to throw things to the public. Never again.
Well, there you've got a good example, but only in London. Okay, there was someone. Yes, yourself. How long did it take to create the choreography and the sketches of this piece?
Okay, we rehearsed for 1 month, and then we had several tryouts with schools in Barcelona. And then for the first time in Spain was a theater circus in a theater. And it was the first time, because we are far away still for having the circus like a normal show in the theaters, came the press. The major press, El País, La Vanguardia, etc., and they wrote wonderful critics. And then we say, okay, this is going to be very good, so we have to continue working. So after 1 month, the tryout, the good press, we did a lot of shows, but every time adding some things. I think that also today in the show we have some new little things, because we like to discover, also to try and to risk. And this is the most beautiful thing in circus, the risk. The risk that, what's going to happen? And then what keep alive.
Yeah, really. So that's another way you keep it alive, by continually adding material.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, and yourself? How did your company come together? Because there are new people this year, aren't there?
Yes. Normally you phone them and say you want to come. Well, for sure in Barcelona is a little world of circus, so everybody know each other. So you see somebody and then you contact maybe after 2 years, you remember, oh, I saw her, she's very good, maybe I'm going to phone. Are you free for whatever? And this is like this. And then you train, you do rehearsal, you do some tryouts, you see that it's working, and like this. Sometimes you do auditions, but I personally don't like this. I prefer to find, to see, oh, this is a good, nice guy, etc. And then we find each other, because important when you travel, when you work, this kind of show is to be together, to be nice together. Is not only the show, is also everyday life. And like I say, have breakfast together and
good breakfast.
Yes, and good breakfast together.
And the next, yourself, and then you back there. Audience participation is difficult. How do you choose? How do you two choose who to take part?
Okay, first of all, you have to look in the eyes, you have to look in the body, you have to look, if somebody's like this, it will be very difficult to, but if somebody's relaxed, and like the guy with the, and then you touch, and then you see if it's relaxed, etc. And then if not, you leave it immediately, and then you go to another one. And of course, I have to say that the first choice for a girl today was you. But you were really like, okay, no, in the beginning, maybe. So, and then this girl was more participating, so okay, maybe it's better, it's less risky. But I say, no, she will be more, how you say, for more risk. But then somebody sit in front of you, it was a wheelchair, so it was difficult to get to you, but this was the idea.
We are looking,
it's a radar. No, this not. And sometimes there is accidents, because you take somebody, and a drunk man. Okay, a drunk, very drunk man, that was very relaxed. But then on stage we say, okay, he smells very, oh no. And then you have to play with somebody. And you play. He is part of the show.
Right at the back there.
Circus background.
Adrian, do you come from a circus background?
I study biblical archaeology in Jerusalem. This is my real profession. It's true. It's completely true. It's real. And then I work as the assistant director in the opera. And one day, I work in the Smetana La Sposa Venduta. I don't know.
Bastard Bride.
And there was a very nice group of street theater people. And then I say, money and opera or no money street theater? I go to street theater. I think that it's more alive. And then circus, and then here, etc. He's coming from Barcelona School of Circus, and then specialized in Moscow, because then he speak a little bit Russian during the show. She come from circus training and in Buenos Aires. She's, I can say, she study everything everywhere, almost. Emiliano is coming from also Argentina, and then Toulouse. He was specializing in Toulouse. And the musicians, like, you know, musicians are study everywhere, doing stage, have teachers, and yeah. He never study, never.
You're obviously all great movers, and you've got great music. Have you ever thought of having a dance in the show at all?
So you're all great movers. You're all great musicians. Have you ever thought of having a dance in the show?
We have only 75 to 80 minutes of show. So we have to... we wanted to sing, we wanted to do musical... you know, you can do many things, and dance was also part, but then you have to keep the story, if not, but yeah, thank you. If you can choreograph us.
Great man of theatre, that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What encouraged you to have musicians on the stage with the actors?
They are cheap, maybe.
Maybe you could explain klezmer, because maybe it's not clear.
Okay, you know, a show, I think, like our show with the live music will be more alive. And for sure, klezmer, circus, and a Jewish wedding have to be with the klezmer. There is a famous phrase said, wedding without klezmer is like a funeral without tears. So one of the things that we start from the beginning is to choose the music and the musician for the show, because this is basic. Imagine the same show, instead to have the musician there, there is a technician there that sometimes put the CD. I'm sure this more half less, yeah. Or nothing, maybe.
I mean, when he was talking about the shtetl, klezmer music, if you're in Eastern Europe, say around Lublin, what have you, these bands come round bars all the time. So it's really very, very typical of this type of culture.
Yeah, gypsy music and klezmer music are really relate, and is the street, the popular, basic music of everyday life in Eastern Europe, mostly before the war. Second word.
A question here. How much of the music was specially composed for the show? This guy speaks English. Shall I give you the...
Most of it is traditional melodies from the klezmer tradition, which we've arranged and added different parts to, messed around with. And then there's one piece which I wrote for Christina, in the striptease scene, which changes every time we play it. It's mainly improvised, but it was a basis that I composed. And apart from that, I think, yeah, it's mainly traditional klezmer music, which we've arranged.
We have 4 minutes
He speaks
left.
Very good English.
His English is marvelous. So we've got a question here, and you're the last question in white.
I loved the music.
Not exactly a question, but an important contribution, I think. Right, you at the back. What languages were you speaking during the show? Did you have to learn any new languages?
It's very simple, very simple. You listen to the sound of a language and then you imitate with wherever. So what we had basically was a Russian film from 1915 in Yiddish. Actually, was not verbal, but there was somebody talking, explaining the story. And there was like, and then we start, okay, we want to do klezmer, we want to do the shtetl, we want to do the Jewish wedding, so we have to learn this sonority, and then we invent. There is no, sometimes there is some words that are really ring or mishpuche or whatever, shalom aleichem, but for the rest, we just say, this is the gibberish or the gramelot, or in Catalan, the barrejat. That is a typical technique of the commedia dell'arte, just to imitate. You can speak any language. You can speak German?
Yeah.
German, for example, is, or let's say the opposite. Yiddish is German with humor. It's very humble to say, something like this. Sorry, Petra, she's German.
She's used to it. They've got a 7:30 show. I think we ought to let them go. But thank you so much for staying. Thank you. And if you want to hear any of the post-show discussions, theatrevoice.com. Go and visit it. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, all of you.